there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Sexton trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down.
But Carl slammed it home.
Garland upstairs.
Oh!
Sexton inside. A thunderous dunk.
And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
Hello and welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. My name is Carl Rodriguez. I'll be hosting this evening, afternoon, or morning, whenever you're listening. Our normal host, Justin Rowan, is on his 47th vacation of the last 3 weeks. So he is unavailable. But luckily, in his absence, I have a champion, a championship podcast host in Ty Windisch. Ty, the Bucks are the 2021 NBA champions. Does it feel as good as you thought it would?
I think it feels better. I think there's so many.
That's the correct answer.
There's so many things about it you would never realize until you're there. Like, I'm sure, you know, talk about 2016 and similar stuff, but like. Giannis, LeBron, the guys at the top, you think about them maybe before, what would it mean for them? But really just seeing all of the players on the team celebrating it and almost going like one by one, like, oh my God, PJ Tucker paid off his NBA journey and got this thing he's been going for. Chris Middleton, of course, who I've, you know, been such a big fan of for so long, gets one. And Giannis too, and Bud even, like, it was so cool. And then, you know, to see all the fans and everything else and to be a fan, it's overwhelming, but it rocks.
You know what you'll also find that's interesting about being a first-time champion fan, you know, like, is if you're, at least if you're me, that I'm probably overly editorializing here, but like, for me, I'm more excited for my friends when they get to have their teams win championships. So I'm like, I know exactly how that feels, and it feels so good. And, you know, so I felt like I watched those last couple minutes through, you know, through your eyes, through Alex Nemec's eyes, you know, the Bucks fans that, you know, have been supporters of the pod for a long time. We're just really, really excited. I feel like the first place to go is probably Giannis. You know, I listened to the Eurostep, you know, this morning, celebrating your celebration of the pod. And it just felt like he went up. Actually, I have a question for you. I don't want to lead the witness here. Do you feel like he went up a level this postseason, or do you think he's been there and we just weren't seeing it?
No, he went up a level for sure. He was, the adjective I keep coming back to is surgical. Like, he would have great moments and even great games in the playoffs in years past, but obviously the wall, which my co-host Rohan insists we refer to as the barrier. So in this, from henceforth, the barrier, which now it doesn't matter that much anymore because it seems like he's beaten it. But you know, it could slow him down, if not entirely stop him, at least slow him down enough to where, you know, if he's mortal and the Bucks are the Bucks, it's probably not going to be enough. He learned how to take over games and control the flow of a game. And that's something where you have to be one of the greats to do that on a consistent basis. And Giannis did it for four straight games. I mean, he scores 40 twice before the 50 burger to end it. But even when he's not scoring 40, when he's scoring in the 20s and 30s, like, there's just a different feel to his game now. He picks his spots. better. He knows his moves better. He has more of them, despite all the stupid bag talk. And also, I mean, play style wise, you just saw him playing more like a big in this series. You know, he's posting up from 6 to 8 feet way up more often. He's rolling more often. Like, they basically changed the way he plays a lot. And that's a hard adjustment. That's a tough thing to sell to a two-time MVP. But the proof was in the pudding. I mean, all run, when he was doing that kind of stuff, he was unstoppable. And it culminates with the best game of his career. But no, he was not like this before. He got better again, which is terrifying for the rest of the league. He's 26 years old, turns 27 in December. And I think he accepted more, you know, really not just saying it, really trusting the teammates, really playing that different role closer to Shaq than LeBron, which is not, should not be seen as a denigration. It's not, it's just his
Shaq
play style.
Shaq was pretty good.
Shaq was solid, it turns out. Hakeem wasn't bad. Kareem, I should say, the last Buck to win it. Pretty okay overall player.
It is funny you mention the infamous bag or lack thereof. And I will say this, and this was what was running through my brain, because I've been thinking about this a lot with regards to this Cavs team as they're growing and developing, is what I'm really kind of honing in on lately is that the bag is not as big a part of winning as people think it is. You know, like the idea of like, if you were like to boot up NBA 2K, Zach LaVine's a hell of a player. You know, like guys who can dribble, shoot, dunk, you know, shoot off the dribble, do a little bit of playmaking, like, and all this, like all this focus on Giannis in the last couple of years has been on the idea of, like, he can't succeed without a jump shot. And I think that this finals really showed how misplaced that line of thinking is. Like, Giannis took a leap because he got smarter and got more reps, not because he added some, you know, like capital S skill to his bag. Like, do you agree with that?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, his fadeaway continues to get better.
That
it
is
actually
true.
It wasn't that bad. It was pretty good for a lot of last year. And then I think he lost confidence in it in the bubble, sure, in the playoffs environment. I think this year in the playoffs, he was a lot more comfortable. I think that does help a lot. But also, the other stuff I think was more important. Like saying, you know, okay, instead of I bring the ball up and size up and just try to beat, you know, 1-on-5 over and over, which sometimes it'll work because he's Giannis, but not often enough. Let me run this ball screen with Chris. Oh, Mikal Bridges is on me. Let me get back to the post. I catch the ball here. I either get doubled or I score is how that math works out for Giannis. And if I get doubled, sometimes I score anyway. Sometimes I find an open shooter or an open cutter. And it just, he looks like such a more cerebral player now, because I think he's taking that second to go, oh, this is how they're bending to what I'm doing. This opens up this. Oh, okay, I see that Chris for three right now. And that just wasn't always there in the past. Not to say he was dumb. I just think, you know, the game slows down.
Yeah, there's just a difference intellectually. You know, it is such an intellectual game. It's part of why I love the game so much, is that it's not so much about did he add a jumper. It's, you know, there's a clip in Zach Lowe's 10 things from midseason this year that, like, really, like, it was one of those throwaway pieces that really, like, reawakens your mind on basketball. It was him highlighting a Steph Curry play, where Steph basically fainted like he was out of the play in transition so he could run his man smack dab into a Draymond screen for an open three. It was like, nothing about what generated that three was the bag.
No.
You know, it really is about being this, it's just about reading the court and seeing that geometry, that 10,000 foot view. And like, I've said a billion times that the biggest thing that the Cavs need to do is get older. And I felt like that's the case for Giannis too. And I feel pretty stupid for assuming that he just wasn't going to get there. And I think to some extent the LeBron thing spoils me, because I'm like, because anyone who's not LeBron level savant, I just kind of like, not smart enough. And there's only like two of those people on the earth. So, and like, I don't think Giannis is like a LeBron level savant, but like, turns out you don't need to be when you have his set of physical skills in the team that was constructed the way it is. It's just a really interesting case of player development. And like, as much as, and that's really why I found his post game so exciting.
Yeah.
Where he was like, this was the hard way. This was the way I feel like any small market fan like lost their shit listening to that. Cause it's like he realized he needed to get better. Like I think there's guys on losing teams right now that don't know that they need to get better. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think my favorite part about the whole deal is that it shows there can be a healthy push pull. Because there, Giannis pulled. Like people, I think, oversimplify now and it was so, I mean, there's a lot of guys who would have been gone if the Bucks took as long as they did to get where they did with Giannis. But I think he just also wasn't ready. I think it would have been I don't know if they win a championship almost no matter what. Maybe 19 because it was such an odd year as well. But I mean, he didn't sign the Supermax right away. People forget Bucks fans were sweating, and he quietly
it was an assumed that he was leaving.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, every network was making that assumption,
frothing at the mouth.
But I think behind the scenes, he was putting on, and in a couple of interviews, he was saying like, "We need to be better. Like, our team needs to be better. Like, I want to stay here, but I'm not going to stay here if it's gonna cost me chances to win." And that's why the Jrue Holiday trade, which was derided at the time, somehow
by me.
At 2027, this high school freshman right now, I'm crying that we won't have him on the Bucks in 6 years. But they had to do it, and because I don't think Giannis gets pen to paper, especially the way the Bogdan thing went. If you don't get Jrue Holiday, I don't even want to. It's such a thing, but
yeah,
it's just gross. Thank goodness we can put all Bucks fans can put all of that behind now. But it's that push pull of like, I want to stay. I know I need to get better for sure. Can't do this with Eric Bledsoe. Sorry, Bled. He takes strays all the time. Great dude. Not the right point guard for that Giannis team.
Sometimes you're just not good enough. Like there's a litany of role players who just weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And like I do think it's often a mistake to think about the NBA in terms of a standard workplace. I think we can run into some problems doing that. But I will say, like, I think it's exactly the way that you want someone who has power with any workspace to kind of flex that power for the better. He demanded excellence. And just like any of us, if our workplace is letting us down and not building towards the things we believe in, like, you should get out of there. I think what's disheartening to small market fans is when, something like the Raptors title happens, like, everything went great and it still wasn't good enough. That's what is tough, but like I think that is often a misrepresentation of the hyper pro player empowerment commentators, that their side, they kind of simplify it to go, you just want them to be trapped, and I don't think that's the case. It may be in some very minimal circumstances, but like most of the time, like when players leave crappy teams, no one's sad for those teams. It really only happens when it's a good team that seems to be going the right way and they still can't keep their guys. So it does feel like everything just worked out so well. And then I think we also got to talk about Middleton because that's a player who I still don't know if he got better. like he's just so smooth in his game. And I was kind of a loud Middleton detractor. I snuck it in on the end of a podcast. From where I thought you probably wouldn't be listening, and I made a joke like, I think Middleton could score 50 and I still wouldn't be sure if he was good, like how good he was. I mean, I feel like the argument's probably over at this point, right?
I think he had 9 at halftime in game 6, so I don't know if it is. He has gotten better. Funny enough, I felt like we didn't see it as much in the playoffs. I hope we see it more from him overall next year. He was a lot better attacking the basket earlier in the season, which is, that was like, out of all the things on offense, it's that and his handle are the two weeks. I think that's why he is still a fairly inconsistent player, is those two things. And I mean, I think the work is going to keep getting put in. I mean, all the quotes from both Chris and Giannis, like, the other guy pushes me so damn hard. Like, that's why we're champions after 8 years together. It's that work ethic, that team culture that they have. But he's such a, it's so funny because there's always been these debates. It's not just national, it's within the Bucks Twitter and Bucks media. is he good enough? Is he not? Is he is. I mean, it's over. He is. It was maddeningly inconsistent along the way still, but it was enough. Like, it was exactly enough when you're Giannis's teammate, you know, even if you're ahead of a shaky game, that shot he hit at the end of game six in the mid range. He hit so many of those in the playoffs. I think he actually might have broken a 25-year LeBron record in the last 25 years, the most tie or go-ahead shots in clutch time in the playoffs, a single playoff run.
Jesus.
So he wasn't necessarily there all game, every game. He wasn't 30 a night, but he was there enough when they needed him, and someone with that skill set and Giannis.
And you know what's funny is that's where, like, a rising tide raises all boats, because Giannis being – because there were stretches last year – where Giannis was not that helpful. Like for whatever reason, the barrier was getting to him. And he looked a little aimless. And I don't feel like Giannis was out of any game. No. And, like, that's the real value of, like, having a true number one as opposed to a nominal number one, is that, you know, Chris can go away for a half and the team can survive. And then as long as he hits a few big buckets at the end, all's well, and you go home with a dub. Yep. And, you know, I feel like that was, you know, the greatest luxury LeBron could have given Kyrie or Kevin Love, or, you know, even J.R. Smith, is you just got to give a little when you got a great player around you. I mean, I think game six is the ultimate example of that. Like, Giannis hard carried the team, but there were players who, even the ones who didn't have great games, gave a little. They gave you the little sparks. Like, you know, I think about, you know, Connaughton, who had a bad game, but he flew in for a crucial offensive rebound late. Yep. And, like, those are the kind of plays you remember when your team wins a championship, because they're the margin plays. They're the ones that you just, that only the diehards remember, you know. Mm-hmm. The Shump 4-point play is the one for the Cavs, you know, in 2016. Man, I wish my team were back in the finals.
soon.
It feels soon. Seeing you guys celebrate really made me like pine for it again. One thing I also want to talk about with regards to this Bucks team, of 16 playoff teams, they were 14th in 3-point percentage. In 3-point makes, they were 10th, or tied for 10th. So 10th through 12th, were all made 11.23s a game. What do you think that says about the state of the league? Because on one hand, I mean, the attempts were still good. They were they're not great. Ninth in attempts. But, like, you know, like, it. Do you think it was just a weird year? Do you think that do you think a paradigm shifted here? Because I'm still not sure how I feel about it.
I don't think a paradigm shifted. I mean, we look at, you know, two of the greatest five shooters ever are stuck on a team that, I mean, one didn't play all year, the Warriors, that didn't make the playoffs. So I think you're starting out from a shooting disadvantage. But I think the Bucks are a special case because, I mean, you know, when you have a player that of the Giannis caliber, how much they shape your team. And there's always this, you know, why do they not get more threes, everything else? Like, Giannis is going to use so many possessions and he's going to pass to some shooters, and the Bucks shooters are always inexplicably bad. I mean, you look at the run. I'll say this, man.
You got a bunch of nominally good shooters. You don't have any elite shooters.
Well, Forbes was for a round, and then not anymore. And Middleton, I think, was like 34% for the postseason.
That's one of your outliers for sure.
Yeah, I think Connaughton led the team in 3-point. Connaughton's so huge. I mean, he did have a bad game six. He also. That game had a charge on Booker that was just phenomenal. But he came through just enough, which is the story of the 2021 Bucks. But I think some of it is just their personnel. I mean, they won the title because they could play big and bully that way.
Second in the playoffs in offensive rebound rate. Got 31% of their own misses.
It was, I mean, across, I would guess the team who was first probably didn't play all that many games. I mean, the Bucks did.
Yeah, Boston Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. Against the Nets, just didn't care to be big at all. But the Bucks, that's how they won, even when Lopez was off the floor. And Lopez was huge and hugely important to the Bucks.
I love that guy, man. He's awesome. What a great player.
What a great story. You talk about a player who is like the archetype of, oh, he's not going to – modern game, he's the opposite of that.
I mean, he's a career – I mean, like, not to say that that's how – this is how I felt about him, but he was kind of labeled as a career loser and a good stats, bad team guy in Brooklyn pretty much the whole time.
I can't even think of an analog in the – like, almost Vucevic, but probably a less respected, like less skills.
Maybe like a Zach Randolph type, where Zach, like, but you know, without the off court baggage.
But he just completely reinvented himself. He went all in on defense, and he learned to shoot, and he can still do the up close stuff offensively too.
I gotta say, as a sucker for low post play, I love it when Brooke would get down there, get dirty.
It's great. It's
like,
great.
Like, it's nice that he could shoot a corner three or two, but I loved Brooke. Just like he crashed the boards, like, because he's so slow. Like, the way he crashes the boards and gets these putbacks, it's just so, like, it's so refined because it can't not be. Like,
he has no option. Yeah.
He has no option but to be uber skilled and have, like, perfect footwork because he can't move.
Watching him and Robin on the same team was just a delight.
Yeah, he's just such a joy to watch. And this Bucks team is funny. I knew I didn't care about the finals. I didn't like have an opinion on the finals because early on I was rooting for the Bucks because I felt like they were dogs. And then once the Bucks started taking control, I started finding myself, oh, it'd be nice if Chris Paul won. But like, I did kind of come to terms with like both these teams are very, very likable. And as many it actually is a bit of a wake-up call for me to, like, let's, like, take a few less stray shots at teams. Because, like, this is actually a pretty fun team, you know? Like, a lot of really good personalities built the kind of way I would like my team to be built in this setting. It's just a fun squad, especially given that, you know, they've evolved so much, man. Like, doesn't it feel like yesterday that Bud was like, I thought 36 minutes was good for Giannis.
It is wild. I mean, that's just like the Bucks have really tried to mold themselves after the Spurs. I think it's no coincidence that Bud worked for Pop way back when and everything else. But I mean, it shows you like what patience can do because, you know, myself included, almost everyone in Milwaukee, the fans, were like, that's enough of Bud. Like, he can't do it. He can't get the job done.
I very specifically remember your post-loss podcast where you're like, it's over. Get rid of him.
He's got it in the bubble. And listen, he was bad in the bubble. Like, I'm not.
No way around it.
No revisionist history. But, you know, sometimes if you buy in to a coach, players, everything. I mean, Middleton clearly had bad moments in high-profile situations. I'll be honest, you don't really have a choice there. But Lopez with the way the game is going, and I think the Bucks, they doubled down, right? They said, no, we do believe in these guys. We think they can be better. I will say, I think Jrue Holiday and PJ Tucker talk about push and pull earlier with Giannis. Like, it was some push and pull with Bud, and I think it's been alluded to in media availabilities and stuff. Like, those guys had some thoughts on how defense should be played, and I think they were good thoughts. But it's credit to Bud, though. I think he also got better, and it's the team is so funny because going into game six, the big debate on our live show on YouTube was like, can you actually trust the Bucks? Like, really? Like, we've been down this route before. We always get burned. I was like, I think we can. I think we actually finally can. That's like everything flipped. Like, every single script flipped on all the players and like the whole mystical ethos around the team of like, oh, the Bucks, they're going to blow it. They turned it all around. And it is super cool. I was thinking earlier today about, I mean, Cleveland got one already, but the Oklahoma Cities, the Orlandos, the Charlottes, all these teams, like, I hope this finals in general, because Phoenix is kind of the same deal, and the Bucks winning it is kind of like a, okay, this is good. There's an opportunity here, and I think it's cool that Phoenix was the other team because, you know, Giannis, it's hard to get a Giannis, as we all know. You can get a Booker. You can get a Booker-level player and a really good core around him and be right there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I do think, I agree. I'm glad that the narrative, like, it is nice that as much as, like, the ratings talk drives people crazy, once the basketball starts, I do think people stop. You know, if the basketball's good, that's what, it's good, you know? And, like, maybe the ratings weren't great for the series. I don't intend to check. But, like, ultimately, I think it was good for the health of interest in the game. Like, I had people talking to me about the finals in a way that they kind of hadn't for a while. And as much as, like, I find that, you know, the those kind of talks that are like, oh, well, people want super duper teams and that's the ratings are better. I'm like, maybe it's a bit of, you know, maybe it's cotton candy a little bit, you know, like it's not good for you long term. And I feel like this was a very nutritious finals for NBA fans that, you know, might feel like there's no road to contention for us.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Know,
like
yeah.
super, super organically built teams with like two final garnishes in Chris Paul and Drew Holiday, where like, and those are guys who, you know, like had flaws, you know, they're not perfect. Like you're never going to have the perfect deck in a small market, but I do feel like this is kind of the play is you take the right risks. Yeah. And that's why I'm dumb for crapping on the Holiday trade. Like that's why I'm dumb, because like you need to hope that it, you can't, I don't think you can team build in a small market, especially one that already has a star.
Yeah.
Built around the idea, built around the median outcome.
No.
You have to hope for some breaks, you know? And like, what's so nice is as much as people will talk about the injuries this season, no one's talking about that today. Yeah. I haven't seen much discourse regarding, oh, well, yeah, but the Nets would have stomped them if everyone's healthy. And maybe that's the case, but, like, that's basketball, and that's why you do this.
Yeah, and I think the game is just untenable if every year it's, you know, Brooklyn with three guys against LA with three guys against the Knicks with three. I mean, the Knicks never do it, but,
no, the Knicks,
you know,
will never.
But Miami with three guys, Golden State, whatever. You know, if that goes on for too long, you just lose all of the fans of teams like ours who are like,
casuals.
Why do we go? Well, no, even the Bucks fans, like, okay, why do we give a shit if we can't do it? So I think I don't think the league set it up for the Bucks to win, but I do think it's good for a team like the Bucks to pull at least one out every five decades, hopefully more in the next couple, but you know.
Yeah. What do you think about this team going forward? Like, do you think that there's do you believe in their ability to repeat? Do you feel like the Nets buzzsaw is coming and you're going to be glad you got one? Because, like, I was just thinking about this today when I was thinking about stuff to talk about with you, which was, I feel like the Cavs had the worst post-championship beats of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
what was it, like a couple weeks? It was July 4th.
July 4th, and it was July 19th was game 7. So they had 2 weeks. The most talented team that was ever created got built. And then the team started to kind of rot from within. And, you know, Kyrie ended up asking out a year later, and then LeBron left the year after. And, you know, so I'm kind of curious what you think about the road forward for this team. Like, what moves need to be made? Like, at first glance, I'm saying a pretty complete team, but there are some spots to improve on the margins.
Yeah, I think it's going to be mostly margins. And the Bucks are aggressive. I mean, I think if nothing else, you look at that Drew Bogdan thing. I mean, that was, all signs were like, oh, they love Dante. They're
God, can you imagine
Dante.
If they had Bogdan?
Oh my God, it would have been. I try not to.
Oh my God, because he was so good this year.
Once he got healthy, but yes, he was. Yeah. He was tremendous. And Bucks fans noticed. It's the "Good for You" by Olivia Rodrigo's in my head.
Yeah.
Every time I see the guy. But I think I would imagine more moves around the margin. You know, the championship hangover. I don't think they're going to be super aggressive this summer. But that said, given, you know, the out of nowhereness of the Bogdan move, is that just because that was the Giannis resigning summer? Who knows? But I think it is around the margins. I think they need better bench guard play. For mine, I think Connaughton is a forward at this point more than anything. That's where you assume Tucker slots in if Dante is back or if they find a new two guard. So I just think guards, they need more guards. They're a big team. They have a lot of forwards. It'll be fascinating to see what Portis decides to do because I mean, he closed games. He closed out the finals for the Bucks and was excellent. He's an inconsistent defender, but improving, and that's, he gives Bud a lot of credit for that. But, you know, he's 25, and if they can find a way to keep him for two more years, then they have bird rights and they can pay him however much they want. It's tricky for 2 years, but him staying around would be big just to keep more guys in the pipeline closer to Giannis's age than, you know, Brook Lopez, who's in his 30s, PJ Tucker's in his mid 30s. They have his bird rights. They can keep him. I think that they will. We'll see. But I think that we're going to see a lot of guys come. I mean, most of them are under long contracts. I mean, the big three are are going to be around for a long time pending a trade. So I feel good. I think the Nets probably come back better, but you just never know when you assemble a team with, you know, KD, Kyrie, and Harden, where they're all at now in their careers and all the miles. I hope that the Bucks get to see them healthy, but as we saw this past year, and it wasn't just the playoffs, all year for them, there's just no guarantee. I don't think there's any reason to think they couldn't repeat. I don't think it's a guarantee. It's not, you know, like the 17 Warriors, like, oh yeah, this is easy mode now. It certainly isn't that. But, you know, I think they have great players, and I think this was year one with Drew and PJ. Like, they didn't even get that much of a chance to gel. I mean, Drew got COVID during the year. Like, I think there's a lot of upside. I think Bud's been getting better, so we'll see. I hope they add another dynamic guard. I think that changes everything. Victor Oladipo has been pining over the Bucks, so TBD on that. But I feel good. I think, you know, they're third right now in championship odds, something I never will care about. I think more than anything else, though, we all saw what Giannis did. He doesn't turn 27 until December. If you have that guy and some other pieces, I think you always have some sort of a shot.
Couldn't agree more. We can end it here with one last question. Is Giannis going to be remembered as the greatest international player in NBA history?
Yeah, I think so. Who's is it right now? Is it?
I'd say it's Hakeem.
It's Hakeem.
I think it's Hakeem.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's I don't
the credentials
think he's there
are
yet.
Already not that far off.
It's not that far off. It's not. He's not there yet. I don't think.
The one player is 26.
Yeah. It's nuts. I think people keep asking where is he in like top 20 and everything.
It
else.
It never even occurred to me that he would be the greatest international player ever until last night. It's so funny how your brain works sometimes.
Things just crystallize. I'm not interested in figuring out where he's at right now. Like, let's wait till all is said and done, and then I can get on the internet and talk about why he should be number one. That's what I'm waiting for. It someday, hopefully.
Yeah, I noticed on the pod you're getting dangerously close to goat talk over there.
Trajectory. I keep saying trajectory. I can't be wrong.
Nice
I'm just saying it's
that,
you know. Yeah.
That's a nice hedge, Ty.
But
say it with your chest. Say what you mean to say. You know, I just couldn't be happier for you. If I can give you one piece of unsolicited advice, is to just preserve every play, this feeling you have about every member of the organization in amber. You know, because like things will change, guys will age, guys will leave. You know, things might take a turn for the worse in some way. Boy, did it happen in Cleveland. But you know, I think that's one piece of. I feel like that's one piece of perspective that I feel like I have that a lot of my friends don't seem to have in the Cavs. You know, Cavs Twitter is pretty good, but like my day-to-day friends where it's like, you know, a lot of it's like, you know, like if someone it's very fair weather, you know, it was like, get rid of that bum the second it stops being good. And it's like, no, those guys are like, sure. I can see what the present is and I can react to it appropriately. But like in the heart of hearts, there's always that championship like glimmer on anyone who was affiliated with that. And I hope the same for you, my friend.
We just keep saying the names of the seven guys who played rotation minutes after the first round. And it's really trying to those and Bud, who I'm sure will frustrate the hell out of me as early as next year, but they all got it done. And yeah, I'm trying to, but I'm glad you said that. I'm going to double down on trying to just keep those positive memories strong, even as time passes.
Yeah, it'll I can't imagine it'll ever feel as good as the first one did. You know, I'm just so happy for you guys, and I think we'll go ahead and end it right there. Thank you so much for listening, gang. You know, you can follow Ty on the Eurostep Podcast Network. Find him on Twitter. He's amazing. If you're a big fan of the Chase Down Podcast, you can go ahead and hit that like and subscribe. Leave us a review. Leave us a rating. Help cook those books. If you want to be a part of our exclusive Discord chat, just go ahead and send a little review over to chasedownpod@gmail.com. We'll invite you right in. Draft's coming up, gang. Can't wait. Stay safe, and as always, go.